your favorite hits on your favorite network. This is Holy Culture Radio.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's
what in the ham sandwich?
We sorry to ban it, though. Letting y'all know. Don't take it personal. It just pissed me.
This is what I want to say to them, Cap. They gave me a new era type thing.
There you go.
Not that old flex thing. You know what I'm saying?
One size fit all fit.
And the shorty go up to the altar doing the hucka buck. But it looked more like a pole and lap dance.
There you go.
She might be a church sniper.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Don't jaw me to death.
Don't jaw me.
Are we praying for you, B?
We praying for you,
man. But you're dead wrong, man.
You're dead wrong.
We don't shoot no hot ones on the show.
Nah.
We got to call a spade, man.
Yeah.
What in the ham sandwich?
Yes, you know what it is. It's the What in the Ham Sandwich show. It's the kid, Sean Slaughter.
And I am True Asia.
You know what I'm saying? And as you can see, our partner is not here. Cook Doggy Dog. He is down with the flu. You know what I'm saying? Best wishes, dog. You know what I'm saying? Don't sneeze on your kids. And, you know what I'm saying? Drink a lot of water. You know what I'm saying? Keep all that sugar out. You know what I mean?
No sugar.
But, I guess it's just me freestyling today?
Basically, you on you. Do you.
It's all on me.
It's all on you. Hold it down for your boy.
So basically what you're saying is it's going to be me and nothing else.
You in the air.
So you ain't going to hop on this track with me?
Nah.
All right, then. Hey, y'all. My mic is a little crackling. Sean Slaughter coming through, you know, when I tackle him. Like a New York Jet, I get in it, don't forget. It's all good, the Ham Sandwich Show. Yes, you best forget the other shows that you're listening. When I'm coming through, I'm glistening. The rhyme style is pistoning. Everybody coming through, you know, I be chiseling. The rhyme just like a sculpture, eat it like a voucher. When I come through, you know, the rhyme style is crazy. Everybody wanna see my flow is so lazy. I could freestyle for like 2,000 hours. You know how I do, you need 2,000 showers. Cause your smell in your armpits is so funky. It's all good, plus you drink Blast Monkey. Plus you smoke cigarettes, I don't know what the heck. Sean thought I'd coming through, make our cat snap your neck. It's the Ham Sandwich Show, I'm glad you are here. Everybody now, don't not crack a beer. And don't crack no vodka. I got God, the Son of Man is coming back. So you better get him, I mean I got him. Everybody wanna come through and try to chop him. Me, I will rock him, just like a t-shirt. Yes, he cleaned me out the dirt now. I'm for certain coming through, I'm just smirking. I wish Cook Dog was here freestyling, it's not working. True on the side, but she don't want a freebie. It's all good, so now you'll just see me freestyle on and on, just like a river. Just like that movie, I'll stand and deliver. In my back, I got arrows, call it a quiver. You know how I do when I come through slither. That's how I do on the beat when I'm rhyming on time. And it's all good, you know, me, Sean Slaughter climbing. Just like Mount Everest, please don't forget this, miss. When I come in through, you know my rhyme style, you'll never miss. Miss me, but my name is never Drake. When I come through, cats acting like they all fake. It's so good to rhyme, I come through and I will bake. You know how we do when we slice it up and cut the cake. Yes, I like it like fat kids love it. And when we coming through, everybody's no above it. J Christ in the sky, YXY, crack a bug dry. Everybody acting like a tough guy. Ha, it's Slaughter Man. I'm gonna wrap the mic up, wrap the rap up, and then quarter man. I just made a word up, don't know what it mean. I'm gonna drop the mic just like your spleen. When you drinking liquor, I'm so quicker. I might say a bad word like, ha ha, yeah, you know that style is so sweet. You ain't catch it, did you? It's the What the Ham Sandwich Show, y'all.
He goes on bad.
You ain't catch that. I said I'm going to say a bad word like, and then I didn't say the bad word. We cut through the fat and give you the facts. It's the What the Ham Sandwich Show.
All day.
You know what I'm saying? Not for the boring, only for the daring. Only for the daring and not for the boring. Welcome back, man. It's good to be back with you guys. Once again, another beautiful week. It's gorgeous out here in Virginia.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You know what I'm saying? 77 degrees. You know what I mean? I can't wait for the spring to come. I'm a New York boy. I like the I don't mind the seasons, but I could care less for, you know, 8 feet of snow. So Virginia does me very, very well. You know what I'm saying? So let's go ahead and give them a little bit of
da-da-da-da.
Ham news.
Ham news.
Give them the ham news.
Let's talk about Bernie Madoff.
Madoff.
In his second jailhouse interview, Wall Street scammer Bernard Madoff told a reporter that his victims were greedy and the U.S. government is a Ponzi scheme in itself.
Sure was. All day.
He said, and quote, "Everyone was greedy," said Madoff, according to the New York Times Magazine. I just went along. It's not an excuse, but I just went along.
And to be honest, it's a hustle. For somebody that's investing $100 million and they're getting 20% returns on their money on a continual basis.
You got to know something's up.
I mean, if you know the stock market, you happy to get 20 and 30% returns. You getting 80% returns.
Come on now.
You happy to get 10% returns.
If something is too good to be true, then
And if you're not asking no questions.
Because you kind of know.
Right, you kind of know.
But you trying to play like you don't know.
So
you get what you get.
I ain't going to say nothing. And now you got to pay her like guap back.
Madoff told the magazine that he went on suicide watch after his son, Mark Madoff, hanged himself in December 2010 on the second anniversary of his father's arrest for orchestrating the largest Ponzi scheme in history.
Yeah, I feel bad for a son committing suicide.
That's crazy.
But if you're looking for sympathy in a little violin, sorry, dog. Ain't got nothing here.
He said a lot of his the people he scammed are living out of cardboard boxes right now.
Are you serious?
That's how much money they lost. Some people lost their life savings.
And mind you, these are investors, so these are not, you know, your average investor was. I mean, he had the New York Mets as a client. I mean, he had big clients.
Right.
And so to go from, you know, 7,000 square feet, you know what I'm saying, to 12 by 14.
And to be honest, he's probably eating better than a lot of them.
Yeah.
He's in a Butner prison in North Carolina. They call that like prison.
Oh yeah, I saw that on TV.
Right, and he's like a superstar in the prison.
Yeah, Cassie praying to go there.
Exactly. he giving stock tips and all out in prison. So he living better than a lot of his people he scammed.
That's a shame.
He off the chain.
He in the prison everybody pray to go to.
Because that's the nigga be next to him.
Embarrassing.
This is the last day of Black History Month. They want to give us 28 days.
You know what I'm saying?
What part of the game is that?
Shortest day. You better get it in. while you can get it in.
Lucky you ain't get 28 hours.
You know what I'm saying?
I want to talk about real quick Emmett Till. A lot of you probably heard of Emmett Till in 1955. He was a 14-year-old who was beaten to death and thrown into a lake for whistling at a white woman. Later on that night, the wife's husband, he and his brother went to Emmett's uncle's house and took him from the house and beat him, gouged his eye out, and then they shot him in the head.
Wow.
And disposing of his body in the Tallahatchie River, weighing it down with a 70-pound cotton gin.
Wow.
They were acquitted.
Wow. This is why people tears up cities.
Exactly. They were acquitted for this.
Why they tear cities up.
Inhumane act. And listen, Brian and Milam, who were the guys who committed the murder, were acquitted of Till's kidnapping and murder. But a year later, protected by double jeopardy, they admitted to killing him in a magazine interview.
Unbelievable. That sounds like a movie.
Till's murder is noted as one of the leading events that motivated the African-American civil rights movement.
You know what I'm saying? And it's unfortunate that it happened to him, but, you know, sometimes you can take something so horrible and so bad, and Emmett Till's death, as horrible as it was, you know what I'm saying, sparked a whole, you know, really revolution.
Revolution,
you know what
right.
I'm saying, for black people and stuff like that. So even though you don't want the revolution to start like that, and it happens a lot of times. A lot of revolution, a lot of things that happen, like America's Most Wanted. A lot of things that happen, they happen out of tragedy. And they wouldn't have started without that tragedy.
Right.
But because of that tragedy, you know what I'm saying, wonderful things have happened.
And that's one of the things his mom said because he was from Chicago and he was just down in Mississippi visiting family for the summer. So one of the things his mom said when they shipped him back to Chicago was she wanted everybody to see what they had done to her son. So they So they said tens of thousands of people, you know, lined the streets and came to his funeral, and they had an open casket, and it was just like the most disgusting thing. But she wanted people to see, you know, the racism that was going on and why her son was killed.
Wow.
So, finally, 20 years later, Rodney King is getting married. You all remember Rodney King.
Are you serious?
Yes, from 1991, who was brutally beaten by the policeman.
Was it Mark Furman and them cats? No, or was that OJ? No, that was OJ.
That was OJ.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and they all got acquitted.
Exactly. After Rodney King's beaten, the race riot followed, leaving 55 people dead and hundreds wounded. So almost 20 years later, after the trial, Rodney King was awarded, I think, $3.8 million.
Wow.
And actually, 20 years later, he still says that he has nightmares. And
Of course.
And he says he still has a stiff body from certain places where they kicked him and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's traumatic.
Right. But the one good thing that came out of it is he's now engaged to one of his jurors.
Oh, wow.
On his, one of the female jurors on his... That was on his, that played a part in his case.
She should have been on the jurors on against the cops. sent them dudes to the bing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. All right.
Well, that concludes another segment. Embarrassing. That concludes another segment of Ham News. Don't forget, you can always call in 757-325-9493. 757-325-9493. Or you can email us info at hamshow.tv. Go to Facebook as well. You know, the What in the Ham Sandwich Show, or just type in Ham Sandwich Show, and we'll pop up there. Click it. Leave a comment. Leave a message. We love your messages. We love your comments. We love your questions. A lot of y'all always give me show ideas. Keep doing that, yo. I love getting show ideas from you. I love getting comments on the topics. We post the topics on the Facebook, so give us comments on the topics. We love the conversation. That's what the Ham Sandwich Show is all about. That's what it is. Hamshow.tv. We on live. Janelle, let's go ahead and get some music. We'll be back. The Kraken. Go ahead and cemetery me. Top of lust, a blackened heart that's cold and callous. Dark thoughts, ways, heart dark forces. And nights darker than a Bruce Wayne endorsement. Stitching on my heart, cardiac arrest. Yes, spirit came and gave my filthy cardiac arrest. Yes, I was dead to God, sin headlong. Wasn't ready to die, but I was dead wrong. Now I'm dead and gone, me on my own way. Even my four rights would take me back the wrong way. Let me take a nap. Sleep, put my sin to sleep. Yeah. Execute my flesh. Yeah. Tell my worldliness to lay it down and take a rest. The old me is dead. I ain't never coming back. So go on, get my coffin and suit up and all black. I promise you can bury me. Hey, go ahead and bury me. You want it, you can bury me. I'm dead and gone, so bury me. The old me is dead. I ain't never coming back. So go on, get my coffin and suit up and all black. From beginners on my way to cemetery, man. Tried to do good, gave my all just like a charity. But good ones like the casket, they just box me in a bury me. Found life in the word, minus Webster's dictionary. Now I tell the story of my life and death obituary. Yeah, life ain't over, but it's already gone. And yeah, your boy crossed over, but I'm already home. Hey, somebody call my mama. Go get her on the phone. Mama Jesus rose up and showed up. Hold up, her baby gone. Everybody pass. Life on this earth won't last. These cats will take your lights and turn them off. Teddy Pendergrass. I know who keep them breathing. We know him cause I believe him. He bled for sin and died for men who daily choose to leave him. They deserve death and I was one of them, baby. But he saved me and you raised me. So please believe me, I died daily. The old me's dead. I ain't never coming back. So go on, get my
it's like your mind playing tricks, ghetto boys. Unless you seek the law and his divine plan, then you just watching time pass, trying to rewind, saying the hourglass ticking. I'm okay, I'm in position, getting me alive in Christ. I bury me, watch me live it.
Old me's dead, I ain't never coming back. So go on, get my coffin and suit up and all black. I promise you can bury me. Hey, go ahead.
I know what it is.
We back.
Short and true. The Ham Sandwich Show.
We holding it down. How come my mic always be trying to go to sleep?
Because you always, this joint be working fine.
That joint be trying to take a nap.
That joint be straight. What's the way you be pulling on it? And then you try twisting it and all that? twist it.
How come my mic be trying to take stuff
Ham Sandwich that? Show, Sean. True. Cook is not here. He got the flu. And so get well, homie. You know what I'm saying?
We point well soon.
Point out a 40 ounce of
a milk.
A 40 ounce of Wilder's for you. You know what I'm saying? Welcome back, guys. And on today's show, I kind of knew that it was going to be me and my wife. You know, thank the Lord, Cook called early, which he usually doesn't. So appreciate that. Thanks for looking out, my boy. So today's show is called, Why in the World Are You Married? You know what I'm saying? And I kind of came up with the topic. Believe it or not, I was kind of surfing the internet and, you know, looking up things on marriage. I knew me and my wife would be doing a show. Looking up things on marriage and love and stuff like that. I came across Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
You know what I'm saying? The
Feel Good. Not Dr. Feel Good.
Dr. Feel Good.
Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil-less.
Although your husband could be Dr. Feel Good.
All day. You know what I'm saying? Feel you and feel real good. And so he has some marriage, you know, things on marriage, stuff like that. And it made me ask the question, why in the world are you married? Or more specifically, what drives people to marriage? You know what I'm saying? Now, some people say the obvious word is love, but I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. I think people get married for a bunch of different reasons. But the one thing I found interesting on the site, care of Dr. Phillip, is some stats from 2003. And let's read through these stats, all right? We'll kind of do, you want to do two at a time?
Yeah.
All right. It's pretty interesting, kind of regular. And these stats are from actually popular magazines, popular polls, and stuff like that. So they're all from different resources. I bet you didn't know that the average age of the woman getting married in the U.S. is 27. Okay? Not bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For all y'all that's, you know, 2022, you know, don't think y'all want to get married around 30. It's all good. You can be 30, 31, 32, still get married. Still find a booski.
Right. Still eggs, still ripe. Still have some kids.
Yes. Still pop them out. The average age of a man getting married in the United States is 29. You know, I don't know, man. I would have thought I would have thought for a woman it'd have been like 23, 24. For a man, it'd have been 25, 26.
Not really, because men, they don't really mature until about 25, 26. So
True that.
You got to give them a little bit of time.
They get married and need somebody watch. They draw.
So, exactly. When they got to get up their mother's house and they start searching.
Exactly. It's time for you to get out.
She's not putting no more clothes, your drawers in her loads.
So what that means is I got to get married then. All right, then.
Bet. You know somebody?
I got you. Read them next
two. All right. 80% of American men and women between the ages of 20 and 29 believe that they have a soulmate who is waiting for them.
Okay, not bad. 88%. A lot of people. Okay.
59% of marriages for women under the age of 18 end in divorce within 15 years. The divorce rate drops to 36% for those married at age 20 or older.
That's pretty interesting. 59% of marriages, they basically, if you get under... under the age of 18, if you get married, 60% of y'all are going to get divorced.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? If you marry under the age of 18. But then it drops to what? If you marry
36.
Over 20? 36. All right. Check this out. 60% of marriages for couples between the ages of 20 and 25 end in divorce.
60%, y'all.
60%. 6 out of 10.
Y'all need to start thinking about this.
That's because y'all young, dumb. You know what I'm saying? Young, dumb, and full of rum. You know what I'm saying? That's because, you know what I'm saying? Rum. And a lot of times, churches be trying to encourage young people.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they date for 2 years. Y'all need to get married. No, you don't.
You do not need to get married.
If y'all don't feel you need to get married, nobody tell you need to get married.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And even if you're living together, which
you shouldn't be.
No, you shouldn't be. You know, we don't believe in cohabitation. Don't let no pastor force you to get married because y'all living together.
Exactly.
Or even if you have a kid together.
Right.
Because marriage, as you'll see later on in the show, is a pretty big step. And 60%, I already said that. Go ahead. 50%.
50% of all marriages in which the brides are 25 or older result in a failed marriage.
All right. So that's wow. Pretty, but that's pretty much the normal stat.
25. Yeah.
Half of marriages.
Right. Yeah.
End of divorce. All right. Right. So that's, you know, bride 25 or older.
65% of altar-bound men and women live together before getting married.
Okay.
I can see that.
Yeah, most people I know we live together.
Yeah.
When we got married.
We sure did.
You know what I'm saying? Don't judge me.
Don't judge me.
I know it's known the Lord.
The Lord has forgiven my soul. God have mercy on your soul.
I got my sins together. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I know that we lived together before we got married. That's 65%. Let's see.
Yeah, we was probably at 65.
Sure was. Research indicates that people who live together, listen to this. Research indicates that people who live together prior to getting married are more likely to have marriages that end in divorce.
Ooh.
So
I wouldn't guess that.
So first he hits you with that 65% of men and women who live together before getting married. 65% of men and women, they live together
before getting married.
Then he says that the majority of those people who do live together are more likely to end in divorce. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And to me, it makes somewhat of sense to me simply because, I don't know, I there's something special about marriage, and I think that when you live together, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. There's something about two people being separate. You know what I mean?
And they're coming together.
You know what I mean? Like when you was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we lived together for, a couple of months maybe?
Yeah. Not even a year.
But then when you went to the Navy for 2.5 years, there was something about that separation.
Right.
That when we did eventually come together, it was a couple, like we decided to come together.
Right.
And we made a commitment. And then you know, the habitation was part of that commitment.
Right.
Versus us just laying up. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, might as well.
Might as well hang out.
I was doing nothing on TV.
They playing reruns of Martin. A recent study on cohabitation concluded that after 5 to 7 years, only 21% of unmarried couples were still living together.
All right, pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
55% of cohabitating couples get married within 5 years of moving in together. 40% of those couples who live together break up within that same time period.
All right, so these are a couple of stats on cohabiting, and right. Obviously living together and getting married does not seem to be a good idea. You know what
right.
I mean? Children of divorce have a higher risk of divorce. Listen to this. Children of divorce have a higher risk of divorce when they marry, and an even higher risk if the person they marry comes from a divorced home.
Mm.
One study found that when the wife alone has experienced a parental divorce, her odds of divorce increase to 59%. When both spouses experience parental divorce, the odds of divorce nearly triple to 189%.
Y'all might as well just stay single.
You know what I'm saying?
Go sit down somewhere.
Well, if one comes from divorce, it's about 90%. If both come from divorce, it's about
it's almost guaranteed that you get divorced.
Go ahead and just get the papers.
Exactly. Go ahead and get married and then sign the divorce papers.
You know what I'm saying? According to the study. And the last stat that we have here, the likelihood that a woman will eventually marry is significantly
lower for those who first had a child out of wedlock.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. By age 35, only 70% of all unwed mothers are married, in contrast to 88% of women who have not had a child out of wedlock.
And that's understandable, because usually when you have a child, you know, it's hard to get a man, and then get a man that's going to take care of that child.
Right.
But, But the stat, 70% is still pretty high.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? 70%. And so we kind of gave you some stats on cohabitation. We gave you some stats on marriage and divorce. And so with all these stats, with all these things that go on, with all the problems that we have, half the people getting divorced, people that cohabitate together are more likely to get divorced. If you come from a divorced household, both of you, you know what I'm saying? The results say, 180% of the time, you know what I'm saying? You're going to get divorced, which is kind of a crazy stat. How you going to get 180%?
That's like
everybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like you got a mandatory get divorced.
You know what I'm saying? And
mandatory divorce.
So if all of this is happening, you know what I mean? Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Men and women want different things. Why in the ham sandwich are we even married? Why do we even do this thing?
Why do we do this? You know act like you clueless.
Why do we do this? You know what I'm saying? Well, look, what we're going to do is, when we come back, I want to go over a couple of marriage myths. Okay? Before we kind of answer this question, we're kind of painting the picture, kind of setting it up, so that you can really realize, maybe ask yourself, why did I get married? Did I get married because I loved them? Did I get married because I wanted a wedding? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Did I get married because somebody told me to? I felt obligated to?
Did I marry because I wanted security? I didn't want to be by myself. Did I get married for whatever reason? You know what I'm saying? Why did I get married? You
somebody
know
what I mean? Wash the drawers?
Exactly. Wash the streaks out. You know what I'm saying? And so it's the Ham Show, Sean True. We'll be right back, y'all.
Culture Radio.
Yeah. I know about pain all too well, but I ain't scared no more. Yeah. Yeah. I've been on the carousel of heaven and hell, at the crossroads of freedom and jail. How the eye with the pistol survived the tale. Been in the minutes, wanting to end it, only thoughts was blank as well. I lost friends, dead ends in the cul-de-sac. Love when that was a give it back, why is it that? I've been crossed over more than a border, I just figured that. Life's jacked as a prison tag. Looking back through the spirit's lens, I can see the fingerprints that I couldn't see with squints. Growth the each event, lost a brother and a parent. It's become apparent to continue, it's gonna take some perseverance. I play through the whistle, even with the interference. Don't trip, standing strong in my circumstance. Refined through fire, through pains, how to face the hands. Advance past through a tragedy, know how fair life can be. But see the beauty gradually. Ain't always gotta be a miserable thing. It's through the hurt, it's how the blessings is gained. It's through a short enough struggle that it's made me a main dog. I can see the beauty of pain, man, the beauty of pain.
I see the big picture and I see the sunshine.
Yeah, I grew up on the cold side, struggling with no pride. To the gutter, I'm so tied, turned thug when my blood died. I wasn't with no guy, fitness, a menace, an image, sitting with a grimace. Me mugging a 4-5, losing my rallies taught me the consequence of living fast, getting cash, no common sense. All the liquor I spilled over my tongue, getting numb, crushing crumbs, sniffing Ritalin pills. Exposed me to the void that I couldn't feel, wounds that I couldn't heal, goons that I couldn't kill if I wouldn't kneel. I realized it's a spiritual conflict, lead me to the grave or the tear with the convicts. I gave it up, lost it all, and it made me humble. Giving grace not to fall in this crazy jungle. I know God, so the persecution's no pride. I got one wife, two sons, and I hold my
pain. Ain't always gotta be a miserable thing. It's through the hurt, it's how the blessings is gained. It's through a joy, the struggle that has made me a main dog. I can see the beauty of pain, man.
If God even cares, cause I lack of action from Adam and prayer. So in despair, suppressed it, I wouldn't share. How could I know I was there? Abounded in the sanity, tragic affairs, I was there. I see my mother sprawled out on the floor, no air. Paramedics all but sympathetic like daycare. And cause of that, my faith was shook. Had very little to begin with, even that was took for sook. In the first chapters of my book, but continue reading. Believing and walking it out my foot, started seeing the reasons. Closer looks, less compiled, for various trials. Now rose that grew from the crack in the avenue. Attitude as well as the heart change. Happiness ain't dismissed, just learn more from the hard things. A birth through pain, I miss offspring. And see it as a beautiful thing. Man, pain ain't always got.
invisible thing. It's through the hurt is how the best is gained. It's through enduring the trouble that is maybe a made dog. I can see the beauty and pain, man.
That's what it is. It's the kid Sean Slaughter, and I'm here with True Asia.
Yes,
y'all know
we're
how
back.
It is. And welcome
did
back.
Did you
to
miss me?
Welcome back. Welcome back
Darnell.
To the What and the Ham Sandwich Show. Who's that?
Darnell for Martin yesterday.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did you miss me?
Oh yeah. That was a Tommy Davidson playing that. Hey yo, Martin. Let me tell you something about Martin, yo. A comic genius.
Yes, hilarious.
His TV shows, I mean, comedy genius. Joints are hilarious, yo. And, you know, what was it? Is it TV One that be running the reruns?
Yeah.
TV One? Yeah, I've seen them mark reruns. Them joints is hilarious. we're back, and we're talking about why in the world are you married? Why in the world are you married? And basically, we went over a whole bunch of stats and stuff that really make you question, why are you married? You know, people get divorced. You live together, you get divorced. Don't live together, get divorced. Married between 20, you get divorced. After 20, after 25. You know, it seems that, and I think, was it Will Smith and Jada? That basically, Will has his own ideology, basically saying that men just cannot be unfaithful.
Right, can't be faithful.
And so they've created this... this system that they're allowed to date and have sex with other people as long as the other approves.
That's like Monique too. Her husband is allowed to sleep with other men. She says her husband is allowed to sleep with other women. Excuse me. She says she won't sleep with other men, but he's allowed to sleep with other women.
That sounds like
you
low self esteem to
me. Low self esteem.
That sounds like low self esteem to me. He can sleep around, but you can't. That's not an arrangement.
She can.
Or she
but
can.
She won't. But she doesn't.
That's a shame, man. I want to give you 10 different myths, and this is our new sound effect. You know what I'm saying? Whenever we give you 10 things.
10 things. That's what's called. The segment's called 10 things.
Called 10 things. This is our new effect.
10 things we found on the internet.
that's the new effect. Whenever we do a top 10, you know what I'm saying?
Nice.
What y'all going to hear is
10 things we found on the internet.
that's going to be the sound effect, okay? You know what I'm saying? So this right here, this is 10 myths about your marriage, okay? And we'll go one by one.
Okay.
Myth number 1. A great relationship depends on a great meeting of the minds. Now this was actually kind of enlightening to me, because basically what it says is if people think think the way you think, like you're on a higher plane,
right?
But it says you will never see things through your partner's eyes because you are two different people. You are genetically, physiologically, psychologically, and historically different. All right, and a relationship is far more enjoyable when you're with someone who enriches your life, not simply reflects it. You need somebody that enriches your life, not just reflects it. All right? So appreciate your differences. Give me number 2.
Number 2. A great relationship requires a great romance. All right?
Great romance. Romance.
I mean, yeah, romance. That's a romance.
Oh, they said a great romance.
I mean, yeah, you know, as a wife, you know, you want romance. Husband want romance. But, you know, it says don't be unrealistic. You're not going to be romantic every single day. sending flowers every single day. It says, you know, yes, your life with your partner should include plenty of romance, but don't kid yourself and expect unrealistic Hollywood fairy tale. The truth is that in the real world, being in love is not falling, it's not like falling in love.
That is a great quote.
It really is.
Great quote. Because when you falling in love is a moment.
Right, right.
And it's hard to carry that moment for the 50 years you're going to get married.
Exactly.
So being in love, I think, takes more commitment, and it's less about feeling, and it's more about loyalty.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's more about loyalty and commitment.
Right.
Myth number three, a great relationship requires great problem solving. Okay.
True.
Another one I learned as well. Don't fall into the trap of believing that you and your partner can't be happy if you can't resolve your serious disagreements. 90% of problems in a relationship are not solvable. Crazy.
Wow.
90% of things in a relationship are not solvable. You know what I'm saying? And I guess it's not if you disagree, it's how you disagree.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I will say this. At the end of the day, because a relationship is about giving and taking, somebody has to take the chance and say, okay, let's try it your way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If it's reasonable.
Right.
Reasonable and obviously biblical. But somebody and somebody has to say, well, we can't, because you can't sit on both sides of the fence forever.
Exactly.
Somebody has to concede and say, let's try it your way. If it don't work that way, we'll try it my way. If it don't work my way, then we'll seek another answer.
Right. We'll come together and think of something. Come together.
Yeah. But just because you can't solve a problem doesn't mean you should get divorced.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Number four. A great relationship requires common interests that bond you together forever. There's nothing wrong with your relationship if you don't share common interests and activities. So it doesn't mean that, you know, oh my goodness, my relationship is over because I don't like what he likes and he doesn't like what I like. The best thing for you to do is to find out what each other like. I'm sure you have something in common. So find out what that one thing is, or that, you know, two or three things are, and embrace it. But also, you have to, like Sean said, you got to be willing to concede. So women, if you don't like football, just go in and watch it with them. You know what I'm saying? You might not like it, but as you watch it, you might become interested, might ask them some questions. And then same thing, man, if your wife, you know, she want
to
go to the...
Sure, it's like watching movies where the man did something bad to the woman, and the woman about to kill him. Go ahead and watch the movie.
Yeah, watch that man get murked.
Watch that man get murked.
Right, you know, and you know, that's, you're showing that you care what she likes. You're showing that you can show interest in what she likes or what he likes.
Right. Even if she do watch The Color Purple for the 175,000th time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go ahead, just lay there. Just veg out.
Yeah.
At least you're laying there.
Right, you're beside her. That's all that matters. Right.
You know what I'm saying? What are we on?
Five.
Myth number five, a great relationship is a peaceful one. Don't be afraid to... Okay, I see what it says. Don't be afraid to argue because you think it's a sign of weakness or relationship breakdown. Even the healthiest couples argue.
Right.
Your relationship should be a peaceful relationship, but don't think... What this myth is saying is that, basically, don't think that you're not going to have major arguments.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it says, if approached properly, arguing could actually help the relationship, releasing tension, instilling the sense of peace and trust that comes from knowing you can release feelings without being abandoned or humiliated. And a lot of times, we don't want to argue with our spouse. And I think a mature couple should argue with their spouse because it releases tension.
Right.
But it also allows you to get your feelings out. And if you don't feel like you can get your feelings out to your spouse, then who are you going to get your feelings out to?
Right.
Your co-worker who happens to be a man, who's a good listener, who want to go out to lunch.
Yeah, I happen to have baby here on the side. Oh, this is nice.
You know what I'm saying? He's a great listener. So, you know what I'm saying? You should be able to express your feelings and express yourself, you know, to your husband. You know what I'm saying? Or to your wife.
One thing I like about this, it says don't abandon the issue and attack the worth of your partner during the argument. If it's an issue that y'all dealing with, or as far as like whose turn is to wash the dishes, don't abandon the issue of whose turn is to wash the dishes and start talking about you ain't never no good anyway.
But the reason they do that is they're trying to win the argument.
Right.
So they discredit the person.
Right.
It's called a fallacy. It's an argument fallacy.
Right.
I forget what it's called. Slippery slope. But it's an argument fallacy where you sidestep the issue and you attack the person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Number six, a great relationship lets you vent all your feelings. That's true. Well, you shouldn't vent on your partner.
Well, read that.
It says getting things off your chest might feel good, but when you blurt something out,
it's a myth. Remember, it's a myth.
In the heat of the moment, you risk damaging your relationship permanently. Many relationships are destroyed when one partner can't forgive something that was said during the uncensored venting. So,
it's a myth.
Healthy venting is good. Healthy venting is good, but just blurting out things because, you know, like you said, you want to attack the person because you feel like you're losing an argument, or you feel like you have to say something to win an argument.
And you can't say everything that you're thinking.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
There has to be some kind of censorship.
Because that's what it says. Vent all your feelings. You can't say everything you think.
I never liked your mother.
You know what I'm saying? Because the reality is that some of the things you think could be sinful and bad and don't need to be said anyway.
Right.
You need to repent about them, not say them.
For even thinking about it. Yeah, you need to repent.
Myth number seven. A great relationship has nothing to do with sex. It's a myth, and this probably pertains to most ladies, since most men, no discredit to y'all ladies that enjoy sex, but most men like having sex more frequently than women. The belief is that sex is not important. It's a dangerous and intimacy eroding myth. Sex provides an important time out from the pressure of our daily lives and allows us to experience a quality level of closeness, vulnerability, and sharing with our partners. And this is important. You got to understand something about sex and the importance of sex. And this is why sex is so important within a marriage. And it's good to have good quality sex within a marriage.
Quality.
Sex is so important because that is the only time that you will be that close to any person in your life is when you're having sex. Right. I mean, think about that. You're never going to be laying on top of your coworker. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You ain't never going to be laying on top. I mean,
spooning your coworker.
Spooning, you know what I'm saying? There's nobody else that you allow. Because think about this. We all have a personal space, right?
Right.
Your personal space is vitally important. And when people violate your personal space, you know what I'm saying? It feels uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so 99% of the people are not allowed to violate your personal space. Even right. Family members.
Right.
The only people that really could personally violate your personal space is your children. And then those that can really violate your personal space is your husband or wife. Right. You know what I'm saying? So think about that. These are the only people that you allow that space. So that space is private and it's precious.
Right.
And so when you give that space to somebody within a marriage, it really is meaningful. So sex really has great, great meaning within a marriage. You know what I'm saying? Outside of marriage, if a marriage is not there and you guys are just having sex, then the meaning is lost.
Right.
There is no meaning. You know what I'm saying? But within a marriage, because it's consensual and it's together, there's a lot of meaning there.
Right. Myth number eight, a great relationship cannot survive a flawed partner. That's definitely a myth. Nobody's perfect. As long as your partner's quirks are non-abusive and non-destructive, you can learn to live with them. So your partner might have a issue, you know, a small issue or even a large issue, but you got to remember that you set for better or for worse.
Yep.
So, you know, you don't automatically throw your partner to the side of the road. You try to work with her or you try to work with him through their issue. You know what I'm saying? And in the end, when the issue is dealt with, it brings your relationship closer.
True that. Myth number nine, there's a right way and a wrong way to make the relationship great. And he says nothing could be further from the truth. There is no definitive right way to be a good spouse, good parent, or to handle any relation that challenges that life throws you. I would kind of agree and disagree with this, that there is a right way. And obviously, you know, the site that we pulled this from obviously wasn't a Christian site. It had great material. But there is a right way. Now, what I will say is that we don't always do the right way. And we're not going to always hit the mark. But there is a mark on being a great husband. And there is a mark on being a great wife.
Right.
And we should aim for that mark and press towards that mark.
Right.
But we're not going to always hit that mark. You know what I mean? And so don't get mad because you don't always hit that mark. You know what I mean? As long as you're striving and trying, truly striving and trying to do your best. Then that should be good enough.
Right.
Give me that last one.
The last one is your relationship can become great only when you straighten your partner out. That's one thing we need to understand, is that, you know, we should not be in the business of trying to change our partner.
Yep.
And try to make him or her more like us.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It says don't fall into the trap of believing that if you could change your partner, your relationship would be better. You are the very least jointly accountable for the relationship. So you meet her halfway, she'll meet you halfway. Y'all join together. But don't try to change her. Don't try to change him.
And I like what this says. It says, let go of the childlike notion that falling in love means finding someone who will be responsible for your happiness. You need to take responsibility for your own happiness. And that's interesting because you think about it, a lot of women do this. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Cookies on the chat. Like,
come on.
As cook dogs on the chat line with the flu. You know what I'm saying? Your fingers must have the flu too, dog. The reality is, a lot of women do this. A lot of women, they get married because they want to be happy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the reality is that even though your partner can bring you happiness, bring you a level of happiness, he can only bring you a measure of happiness. That's all right. He can bring you is a measure of happiness.
Right.
You're responsible for your own happiness.
Right. That doesn't mean the sky is going to open up and the sun is going to shine every day and it's never going to rain. You know, you're never going to have issues. Everything is going to be perfect.
Nah. You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't work like that.
But I've come to find out that as you, sometimes, like you said, some of those arguments and hard things actually will grow. A relationship. So let's take a quick break and come back with the Thunder Mower. It's Sean the True. Cook is on the chat line.
Come on.
God bless America, my home sweet home.
Ain't nothing better than being free and a king. It allow a cutty to live out what he see in his dreams. Let me clarify my lingo so that you see what I mean. Everything been falling in place all cause I hopped on the team. Soon enough, you will notice. Christ is my main, focus. Gotta be a light, to the hopeless. Can't fall for the hocus. Want us to pipe down. Hate to hear us giving them glory through night sound. But as long as he give me lyrics to write down, I'ma brag on his goodness, not later, but right now. I'ma let it be known. That I'm in my zone. Since your boy accepted his calling, minus the phone. I'm still on the runway, somebody tell these pilots I'm gone. And when I think about it, I get so emotional. They get that jumping and waving just like an ocean do. You got me broken and humble just to be close to you. It's Independence Day, tell me what it means to you. I get so emotional. Yeah. You jumping and waving just like an ocean. Hey. Hey. You got me broken and humble just to be close to you. Independence Day, tell me what it means to you.
Show you what this independence really looked like. Like an eagle, my faith in Christ took flight. Like 2020, my vision, it kinda shook sight. No longer left on death row like greatest shook night. Good night to everything that was holding me. I'm living life full of bolder be living free. Try to quit, change to a bolder be. I choose Christ, one of them seem a little slow to me. I serve the God that'll change you from your sin sick. The answer to your problem is solving arithmetic. Freedom won't be found in a dude or a chick. You only find it in Christ, the one that's heaven sent. I know it seems what we're saying is a little strange. It's the same as what you're hearing from Ross Breakaway. Bringing change, staying low, we're staying in my lane. Born again, that's the only one that can make it rain. Think about it, I get so emotional. It can't be jumping and waving just like an ocean do. You got me broken and humble just to be close to you. It's Independence Day, tell me what it means to you. But when I think about it, I get so emotional. It can't be jumping and waving just like an ocean do. You got me broken and humble just to be close to you. It's Independence Day. Tell me what it means to you.
Yeah, it means I'm free to walk in the authority he's given me. Rip off the shackles, no longer bound by the enemy. Holy Spirit enter me and erase the sin in me. Cats looking crazy, they don't know what's gotten into me. It's Independence Day, let's do the fireworks. Celebrating with brothers who only put Messiah first. Ex-slave, check my passion for Christ's movement shirt. Walking free, proclaiming his will while we here on this earth. License to do his will, yeah, I'm built for the goal. Walk with accountable brothers to catch me when I fall. And when opposition is tall, I'm not frightened at all. I add short and on them, I can show them how to ball. This is a dope team, homie, we already won. For freedom, we stand firm, Galatians 5-1. We only free cause we know the Lord went and hung. Got independence, but we still depending on the sun. Think about it, I get so emotional. And get to jumping and waving just like an ocean do. You got me broken and humble just to be close to you. It's Independence Day, tell me what it means to you. And when I think about it, I get so emotional. And get to jumping and waving just like an ocean do. You got me broken and humble just to be close to you. It's Independence Day, tell me what it means to you.
Okay. Yeah, big field repping that bloodstained banner with my East Coast flow and my down south grammar. Boy full of gifts, call me the down south center. By his grace, I am not in the down south slammer. Prisoner, sinner, punishment, death. I'm saved by grace through faith, nothing else. So until the boy died, be the king I rep. He was moved by compassion because his crumbs I kept. Even this dog deserved that, you heard that. Grabbed me by the collar and he showed me where the word at. Bought by a price through Christ. Teflon. Steve Irk status, then he changed me to Stefan. I'm so Jaleel White ass snowing. I was washed in the blood. I let the whole world know I served a real hero. And his name I live. I keep Jesus Christ. Y'all can have Will Smith.
And when I think about it, I get so emotional. They get the jumping and waving just like an ocean do. You got me broken and humble just to be close to you. It's Independence Day. Tell me what it means to you.
When I think about it, I get so emotional. They get me jumping and waving just like an ocean do. You got me broken and humble just to be close to you. It's Independence Day. Tell me what it means.
It's a celebration, the sun's out, screaming till the sun's down. Fireworks popping off, seeing through the dark clouds. We on the run now, heading for the end line. Breaking down the borders of our past like an enzyme. Send out a leash is off, show me where the eggs at. I lost a lot of tears, show me how to get them back. Only the Lord's grace, show me how it is a death. He's like a bodybuilder, show me how to cut the fat. So now I'm 40 pounds lighter, yeah, the fighter's back. Changing my drum beat, I call it a heart attack. Over this one beat, I call it a smart attack. And let the sound of our freedom bang. This ain't the tit for tat, get to get rhyme play. It's just to celebrate our team like draft days. It gets to jumping like kids on half days. I'm still amazed that he ripped me in my pathway. And when I think about it, I get so emotional. It gets to jumping and waving just like an ocean do. You got me broken and humble just to be close to you. It's Independence Day, tell me what it means to you.
Woo, that was like a party. That was a party track right there.
Yeah, that was hot.
Fireworks.
Don't be like Drake. Fireworks. Wow. Sean Slaughter. Treasure.
You'll be back.
It's Cook Dog in the chat room. You know what time it is.
Thunder.
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 Thundercats. Oh! Did you miss me?
Listen up, bleeple.
Come on.
Come on. Thunder mouth. Come on.
Something's wrong with y'all.
Oh, my goodness, yo. I don't even know where I'm at.
Thunder
mouth. We're talking about why in the world are you married? And we went over some marriage myths. That maybe you thought you need to get married because of those myths. Maybe you thought you had to be compatible and see on each and every level, or you know what I'm saying, he had to be as smart as her, or you know, y'all got married because y'all never argue. I hate couples that say that. We never argue.
Always, no, and then they think no. We don't.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Yeah, we had an argument maybe 3 years ago.
But that was it.
That was it. You know what I'm saying? That's not healthy.
Right. Something wrong.
It's
somebody
not
holding
healthy.
Something back. And something big going to happen. And somebody going to get hurt.
Something big going to happen. Somebody going to catch somebody in bed doing something more than sleeping. You know what I'm saying?
Somebody going to be getting tickled.
You know what I'm saying? I got two scriptures. And here's the reality. With all the stats say about marriage and all the myths that are out there about marriage, marriage is truly about one thing. Well, two things. It's about commitment and it's about loyalty. And when you get married, even though love is a part of it, you know what I'm saying? Well, to be honest, I shouldn't say love is a part of it. I think our definition of love is wrong, because the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. The reality is that true love, in God's terms, is a sacrifice. It's a commitment. It's giving your all. All right? Check this out. Probably heard this before. A lot of people get in marriages and they want to contribute something, not commit. So I want to bring my ideas in. You bring your ideas in. We'll collaborate. You know what I'm saying? We'll be best roommates. We'll collaborate and make a great marriage. And the reality is, it takes commitment. Check out this story. It says, a chicken and a pig were walking down the road together. They passed a sign for a local diner advertising its breakfast special, ham and eggs, $2.95. Mm. The chicken said, "That's our whole contribution to society, breakfast food." The pig replied, For you, it may be a contribution. For me, it's a total commitment. The reality is, a lot of y'all are like chickens. Well, y'all want to come off in a relationship and drop off a couple of eggs and keep it moving. But as far as the pig, he can't drop off no eggs. In order to make bacon, he got to go all in. You know what I'm saying? And so
exactly.
For the chicken, you know what I'm saying, he makes a contribution to the breakfast. For the pig, he makes a commitment because ain't no coming back.
There's nothing else after that.
You know what I'm saying? No talking to nobody after that.
Exactly.
And this is what Jesus talks about. This is why Jesus always talked about himself as the groom and the church as the bride. And talks about the body of Christ and himself as a marriage couple. And even when he talks about marriage, there's this commitment that he requires of us that is so sacrificial. I mean, he tells the husband to love the wife as Christ loved the church. You know what I'm saying? And the same from a woman. She's supposed to have the utmost respect for her husband. You know what I mean? And there's this ultimate commitment, this ultimate giving over of one another, this ultimate sacrificing of one another. And so I think a lot of times we get married, we think of love and the feelings, and the feelings are great.
Right.
But if feelings are the number one priority, maybe not, feelings could be maybe number two. But if number one, and I don't think a lot of us think, I don't know we thought of it like this. You know what I'm saying? I think we, you know, maybe we got married because we really liked each other or loved each other, or we've been together for a long time. I guess it's what you do. But I don't know if we really said, I'm committing myself to this person forever.
Right.
You kind of think, I mean, you not like you saying I'm going to break up after I get married, but you're not saying I'm committing myself to this person. I'm giving myself to this person forever. You know what I'm saying? I'm making a total commitment to this person. You know what I mean? 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with our words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Real talk. You know what I'm saying? Because love is not with words or tongue. You know what I'm saying? And the Bible says, if you do love with words and tongue, you just are like a noisy cymbal. You know what I mean? Or a tinkering bell. But true love is in actions and truth. Joshua 24, 14, 15 says this. Now, here's one thing that I love. I want you to think of this scripture, because being that our love commitment, the agape love that God wants to have for our partner, this commitment to our spouse is similar to the one that we have with God.
Right.
He teaches us this thing, right? So I want you to listen to this verse, but I want you to think of it in terms of spouse, okay? Joshua 24, 14 and 15. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods from your forefathers, worship before the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord."
Know it.
Let's go ahead and put the spouse in there. I'm going to twist it up a little bit. "Now fear the Lord and serve your spouse with all faithfulness. Throw away all other thoughts of women and all other shorties that's walking by, worship by other men.
They decent.
And serve your wife or spouse."
Stop looking at fat burgers.
Stop looking at fat backs, fat necks. "But if serving your spouse seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you'll serve." Whether you're going to serve your spouse or you're going to serve these other chicks in the lands you're living in. You know what I'm saying? "But as for me, I'm going to serve my spouse." And the reason you can do that is because the same service that God wants towards us, of course, our commitment to him is higher, but that same kind of service, that same kind of commitment, that same kind of loyalty, that same kind of bond that we have with God is the same type that he wants with our spouse. And so, just like as we serve the Lord and we're faithful to the Lord and we love the Lord and we're thankful of the Lord and we appreciate the Lord, it's so funny how we do all these things to God who we can't see, but we can't do them to the person that we live with every single day. That's 5 inches from us.
Exactly.
Faithfulness, commitment, love, appreciation, thankfulness. And God continues to mimic our relationship with him like a marriage. He's like, "Look, the same way y'all doing that, y'all should be doing this. The same way y'all should be doing this, y'all should be doing that." You know what I'm saying? Adoration. But for some reason, a lot of couples will actually use God against one another. Well, God said we that. Yeah, you need to have more sex. Well, God said da 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 da, and they'll use the Bible against one another instead of acting like the Bible. Or worshiping God, or serving each other like you serve God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Love is best seen as devotion and action, not an emotion. Let me say that again.
Mm.
Love is best seen as devotion and action, not an emotion. Emotions are great, though. Emotions are good.
Mm-hmm.
Love is not exclusively based on how we feel. Certainly, our emotions are involved, but they cannot be our only criteria for love. True devotion will always lead to action, which is true love.
Ooh.
True devotion will always lead to action, true love. The reality is that if your partner is not showing a lot of action, you know what I'm saying? You need to start an investigation.
Exactly.
Because somebody that tells you that they love you, but don't show you that they love you, is showing you something, but it ain't love.
You got to read the writings on the wall.
That's it. You know what they say? If it act like a duck, it walk like a duck, and talk like a duck, it's not a chicken.
Affleck!
You know what I'm saying? And let's end with this. Quality relationships are founded on the rock of commitment, not the shifting sands of feelings or emotions. God calls us to be people of commitment, first to him, then to others.
Y'all just got sun.
Y'all got thundered.
Y'all just got sun.
And emotions are good. Emotions are great. We all love emotions. You know what I'm saying? But commitment is better.
You just got sunned.
And that's your official Thunder Butts moment. And that's pretty much it, yo.
Nothing else.
It's nothing else to be told.
Love your people.
You know what I'm saying? www.thehamsandwichshow.com. Hamshow.tv. You know what I'm saying? We broadcast every Monday at 6:30. So check that out. 757-325-9493. Call us. Leave us a message, a comment. Advertising. We about to send out our advertising packet. Let you show our numbers. You know what I'm saying? We get about 25,000 spins a month.
You know about that.
You know what I'm saying? 25,000 spins a month. Downloads and streams and all that type of stuff. So we're on iTunes app, Android app, and you know what I'm saying. So the Ham Sandwich Show, kid, it's the kid Sean Slaughter,
and I am True Asia. And the quote of the day is: When one man loves the one woman, and the one woman loves the one man, the very angels desert heaven and come and sit in that house and sing for joy.
Jesus.
Shundo.
We appreciate y'all listening to
What in a Ham Sandwich?
One.
Song number one, Tadashi. Featuring Lecrae, Bury Me. Song number two, Clister. Featuring Seven, Beauty in Pain. Song number three was Swing, featuring a whole gang of people. A song called Independence Day. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is. What?